This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
And welcome into hour number two of the Outdoor Show. Got some fishing reports coming up for you and also some in-the-blind duck hunting reports. We'll be doing that from areas in Delacroix, also down in Burris, and as well as over in the Lake Charles Calcasieu area at Hackberry, Rod and Gun. In fact, we have Lafitte LT says he's looking forward to meeting Captain Kirk. He's got a weekend hunt next week in Hackberry. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone, he's wishing to. Well, good luck, and let us know how you do, Lafitte. And maybe we'll even get him on the air while you're with him if you're hunting on Saturday morning. And here's one, let's see. about the, it was a recipe for the greaseless fried turkey. Let's see if I can find it. But sometimes these come in so quickly, it's hard to keep up with them. Here it is. I use my infrared fryer for turkey. I use a zesty Italian crab boil butter injection. I use a little more than if I was frying in grease because you lose some of the liquid versus it flowing through the grease. It comes out tender and juicy. Whew. Okay, yeah, well, maybe I'll have to look into that. All right, we also have these regulations. You know, we got some people texting the frog lawyer, and I'd like to know how he got that name. Does he represent frogs in court? Tell you what, I certainly would be guilty of frogicide if he took me to court. Anyway, he's opposed to it. You know, there was a vote taken from the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, and it was in favor of allowing motorized kayaks in their tournaments. So there's a lot of discussion going on about that. Paul Bernard, who is information director for the Coast Guard, sent me some information on what you need to be legal if you are going to motorize your kayak. And you got to realize if you do that, you're basically going to be running a motor vessel, and you'll have to have it registered with the numbers, get the numbers displayed on both sides of the bow, and keep your registration paperwork with you. If you're at night, you can't just use the lights that you would normally use for kayaks if you're paddling or pedaling. You've got to have the red and green bow lights, and you got to have a stern light, just as if you were, you know, going to be out there running a regular motorized boat. And, you know, some other information, too. You got to have a device that produces sound, like a horn, or that complies with the rules. You got to have, of course, naturally, your PFDs have to be there. And really, if you're in a kayak, you should absolutely be wearing it. And it's got to be the proper size. You know, again, if you're going to be under all of the different regulations as if you were running, say, a bay boat, but it's going to be for your kayak. You got to have those special lighting. Anyway, if you want to find out exactly the details on it, I would suggest you go to his Facebook page. It's Paul Bernard, and there may be more than one Paul Bernard, but he's the one that is used to be affiliated with the Coast Guard, and he knows all about the safe boating regulations. We've worked with him in the past, and he can get you all set up. As far as my opinion on using them in competitions, I think they're fine to use. If you want to spend the money and rig it out whatever you can, that's your own personal opinion. But in competition, if you're going to have someone with a motorized kayak against someone who's paddling or pedaling, definitely an advantage there. I would be opposed to that. But I would say there could be some exceptions, you know, like they do with the wildlife and fisheries on WMAs. People over a certain age or with physically challenged, they might be able to be allowed to use a motorized. So they can compete in these tournaments too. But I don't know. There's also the – it's just they were made to – you know, kayak fishing in mind was to kind of remain primitive and limit the access and the distance you can go. And that's kind of lost when you put motors on them. But to each his own, like I say, if you're just doing it for the fun of your own personal kayaking, knock yourself out. Deck it out with all the electronics and automatic push power poles and everything else you want to put on it, motorize it. But for competition, I don't know. I guess maybe they'll eventually have two competitions, a motorized division and a non-motorized division. Maybe there's enough interest to do that. What do you think? Text us, 504-260-1870. When we come back, Mike Gallo, man, he sent me some pictures that will just simply knock your socks off this week. He's into some big trout, and his quote on the bottom, his caption was, "We whacked them today." And I would say, you whacked them, shellacked them, maul dragged them, whatever term you want to use, he got on them. We'll find out where he was and how he did it. Coming back on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. I don't think he was really born on the bayou, but he was born pretty close to it. Mike Gallo joins us. His presentation of his reports is from CETO. They give you the free towing, fuel delivery, jump starts, dock-to-dock towing, always assistance from their staff of expert captains when you need them and where they need them. And with the Christmas shopping season around, for $249, give a great gift to one of your loved ones who's a boater, may not have that, and then from then on they can renew it each and every year. It's like AAA on the water and mostly gives you peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Call Captain Chris, 504-301-4545, or go to CETO.com and check it out. Captain Mike joins us now. And, Mike, that was one of the most impressive pictures of speckled trout and actually a mixed catch of other fish that I've seen in a long time. Tell us what was going on and how did you do it?
Well, Don, this story actually starts on Thursday. Thursday it was fairly windy. I fished with the Baton Rouge Fishing Gang. Those nine guys came down, stayed in the lodge, and then we had three boats go out. Captain Drake and Captain James helped me with that group, and we all descended upon the Pearl River area. It's been fairly clean water and been fairly productive, so that's where we went. Well, it turned out to be a grind for me. I barely got out of there with 25 fish, and it was a mix. Mostly speckled trout, a couple of freshwater catfish, couple of redfish, and even a bass. One of the captains found a nice mess of white trout, and the third captain actually went into the Lakeshore Estates area where he caught, I think he had 22 sheephead, a big sheephead too. So it was, you know, my side of the story. I didn't do well in the Pearl River. I struggled. It was a grind. So obviously yesterday I decided let's run down the Intercoastal Waterway and see if we can find cleaner water. So that's where I went yesterday. And I wouldn't say it was a grind, but we did cover a lot of territory drifting along the shoreline, along the rocks. And we just had to work like a team. Whenever somebody caught one or missed one, they needed to be verbal about it so the other two could cast in the same area and see if we could cash in on catching a few out of those little schools that are roaming up and down the shoreline. So that was our strategy yesterday, and that paid off for me very well. Some bigger than average fish came from that. Oddly enough, Captain Danny, who ran the other half of this group from Georgia, went back to the Pearl River, and he did very well, had his limit by around 10:30. So it's fishing. From one day to the next, it can be different.
When you were fishing over there, were you fishing on the marsh side or were you fishing the rock side?
We fished both. Hmm. We moved around quite a bit. We would look for birds. It didn't have to be birds diving. It could be just what we call search birds. Those birds are searching around the area because they can see bait, and the bait might just be too deep for the seagull to be able to dive down and get it, but he's hoping there's fish that's going to chase the bait to the surface. So just seeing birds circling above can be an indication, and we would give it 15 or 20 minutes, and if we didn't catch, we'd move. So like I say, we covered a fair amount of ground yesterday, or water, and you know, once we would find a few, we might drift that one area three or four times. It might only be 200 yards long, but we would drift it, go back, drift it again, and once we felt like it played out, we would look for a similar area, whether we were in 15 feet of water or 8 feet of water, and we would just move around.
Were you fishing with plastics and just jigging it off the bottom? Were you fishing under a cork, or were you using live bait?
We were using live bait on a drop shot, and we also had some plastic mixed in with it. Yeah. I'm using colors that are mimicking pogies or shrimp, so they're light mm-hmm. colors. I like glow. I've been using the glow a lot. Berkeley has a white Berkeley Gulp shrimp in white is a good color. So those worked as far as the plastics, and of course the live shrimp. Can't beat that.
Have you gotten a hold of that Marker 54, that shrimp looking?
I've seen them. Mm-hmm. I've seen them. I've had people bring them on the boat. It's a great looking lure. I can't say that I've personally used it yet, but I've heard great things about it.
Mike, one last question. One of our listeners wants to know about the what kind of tide can they expect tomorrow around Lake Catherine? Is it, like most areas, going to be a falling tide in the morning? And looks to me it's a little bit under a foot, so there should be some pretty good water moving there.
Yeah, it'll probably be a falling tide in the morning. Tide fell all day yesterday. When I came across Lake Pontchartrain around 2 o'clock, it was still falling, and I could see several shrimpers staging in Chef's Pass, getting ready to catch those shrimp as they're leaving, you know, behind this front. So all of those things are good signs for better fishing for us moving forward.
Got it. Mike, somebody wants to get a hold of you and get in on some of this wintertime fishing. Maybe you and your captains can squeeze them in. They can find you on my website. What's your site and phone number?
Well, you can find me at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. My website is aaofla.com, social media, Angling Adventures of Louisiana, or 985-781-7811.
And some wonderful accommodations at the Spots and Dots Lake House Lodge for the out-of-town guests. Mike, I hope you have just half the trip that you guys had yesterday, and we've got beautiful weather conditions out there, too. You got some lucky customers today going with you, and we'll talk with you next week.
All right, Don, we'll talk to you then. And before I talk to you, I hope everybody has a happy and safe Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. You do the same. All right, there he goes, our own Born on the Bayou, Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. Coming back next, we got the Paddler's Report for you. Captain Eric Mohabarak joins us to tell you where you can find some fish in your paddle craft or your pedal craft or your newly motorized kayak. Back with his report next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Network. Yes, it is time for our paddlers/motorized kayak report, brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. And I know they got their Tackle Tuesdays going on, and this Tuesday, when they have those special hours from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., now listen to this closely. The first 25 customers this Tuesday will get a free goodie bag courtesy of Topwater Company, along with a sample pack of their new Twitch clips. Also 40% off on their new selection of Duck Camp Camo, which has just arrived. You can also find lots of Christmas shopping gifts at the premier kayak store and fly shop, No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Highway in Metairie, Monday through Saturday, 10 to 6. And on those Tackle Tuesdays, they'll be open 8 to 8 p.m. And stop by early and get your free goodie bag. Captain Eric Mohabarak joins us now. And Eric, thanks for joining us to give us a little bit of report. What's going on in the kayak world of fishing?
Oh, well, Darren, you know, they got the big motor dispute going on. I'm not necessarily for it. I'm not against it if you're 65 or you have a handicap or something like that. I think that's a great thing. For new people getting in, it's a little rough, you know, with the prices of things. But that's technology, Don. You know, we didn't have, you know, I remember when the depth finders came out, people went back and forth on it and the pedal drives and all that. So I think it'll be worked out. I think they should allow, you know, a time period, like a year or so, since it was voted in, so that everybody could get a motor or have opportunity to get one for those who choose. But anyway, that's kind of my outlook on it. I think it kind of takes away from the sport a little bit, but that's just me, you know. But, you know, it should be fun to watch and see how things turn out, you know, now that people are having motors. So
do you think
that's about
enough,
what I have to say.
Do you think there's enough potential participants to have two divisions, a motorized and a paddle, more paddle?
Don, I think they could do two divisions. I think they should leave the, let's just say, the minimalist is still the lead prize or whatever, and have a division just like they have a women's division or a children's division or a golden oldie division. I think that would be good. Offer maybe like a gift certificate or something, you know, $100 gift certificate or something like that. And then let the big prize, like the kayak that they give away at the bigger tournaments. I would think that would be better, because it would still be able to involve people who has a pirogue and can fish, you know, in it, or a canoe or a pelican kayak or something like that, you know, instead of a big fancy kayak like most of us have these days. You know, it gives opportunity for people to get in and try. And also, you know, the kids are the future of the sport. And of course, the technology and stuff. I have a 16-year-old. He's all over technology. This is part of the growing thing is what I see.
Well, I'm sure it'll work itself out and seek its own level and be settled at some point. Now, let's talk a little about some spots to go fish. We're into that wintertime fishing. What techniques or tactics does a kayaker change to when you get these colder temperatures like this?
Well, Darren, personally, it depends on what we're targeting. Like right now, you know, the trout and stuff like that, they're getting on the oyster reefs, you know, and the cuts. I find the oyster reefs, and when the sun comes up and it warm up a little bit, the trout are pulled to that. Also, you'll pick up some redfish during that time. The redfish are still being picked up in the ponds. Some are in the cuts. Some are in some deeper water, but the water is cooling off, so things are going to be moving slower. A lot of people like to downsize their artificial lures during the wintertime, and I believe that's true when it gets really, really cold. You know, I still, this time of year, throw big, you know, 4, 5, 6-inch baits, but I'm always chasing a big fish, so, you know, I believe big fish, big bait, but that's just me. Something else that's going on really good right now, too, is that the sheephead down in Plaquemines Parish, like along the rocks in Empire, if you launch it, the Empire Marina right there, just go down the rocks and use a jig head with shrimp. man, you could load the boat up any structure, anywhere you know they got pylons down there or oyster reefs or something. Man, to put some dead shrimp, or if you can get a piece of crab, they'll eat that too. It's really easy. I'm saying easy fishing, but you know how fishing is. But it's really good, and it's something you could take a kid to do and then catch a pile of fish with, you know, with short distances.
Don't undergun either. Those sheephead can fight. You get a big 6-7 pound sheephead on there, that's a lot that the ultralight can handle for sure. Well, listen, Eric, we got some of your fans are out there. We got one saying, yay for Captain Bigfoot. You're the green egg hero. And we got Roy and Todd there also listening to Captain Dirty, another nickname in Springfield. So your fan club is alive and well this morning. Eric, you're one of the few guys that take people out in kayaks and on charters. Tell them how to get a hold of if somebody's interested in doing it with you.
Yeah, Don. Well, you can find me on your website or get in touch with you, and you can give them my number, or they could text me on my phone or give me a call. Also on Facebook, the Louisiana Kayak Company, and Instagram, Louisiana Kayak Company, and that's about how you can get in touch with me. I'm out of here.
All right.
Getting ready to leave right now. Matter of fact, to go catch me some of them sheephead because I like to eat them.
I know they are definitely fat boy approved. All right. Thank you,
yeah,
Eric.
Sir.
We appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you next time.
All right, Don. Have a great week, man. We'll yell at you, all right?
All righty. There he goes, a guy of many names, Captain Raccoon Feet, Dirty, you know, Bigfoot. They got a lot of names for him. Great guy. Does a good service, too. All right, we'll be back right after this. We're going to change from fishing to duck hunting. We're going to drop in on 3 duck blinds and get some live action for you. Coming up next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque. Radio Network. All right, we got it. Here it is. Everybody, the world, everybody's been waiting for the origin of the name Frog Lawyer, okay? Frog Lawyer is an attorney from Rain, which is the frog capital of the world. And on a very late tournament night, the name Frog Lawyer, because he is Luke the Lawyer, and they started. His real name is Luke, but from that day on has been known as the Frog Lawyer. So that solves that mystery. All right, also getting lots of info on using a turkey fryer without the oil. Dustin and Bush says he's got one. He jacks the turkey up with a lot of ejection sauce. Comes out phenomenal. I might have to look at that. Those infrared fryers with use no oil, but still a little bit concerned about the moist and the tenderness, but I guess the injection takes care of that. All right, you can also inject ducks, and Mike Smith's probably got a few of them. We'll be back in 10 seconds to find out what's going on in the blind of Mike Smith of Louisiana Duck Hunts in Delacroix Island right after we let our local stations identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we take you directly to the blind of Mike Smith, LADuckHunts.com. And Mike, are you fully recovered from the hunt with Goosey Geist yesterday? Are your ears healed up?
I tell you what, I think that mallard came out of City Park yesterday.
Yeah, y'all killed a greenhead. I think he brought that with him. He must have brought
it. I think so. I think he had it in his blind bag and threw him up in the air or something, you know?
Well, you've been doing phenomenal down there. Recap the week and then what's going on this morning.
The first week was fantastic. That front came through. Bye-bye, ducks.
Uh-oh. Pushed them out, huh?
Yeah, it pushed the blue wings out. We and then the Northwester pushed the water out. So everybody who was complaining the first week, too much water, said, yeah, you're not going to complain when the Northwester comes.
Yeah.
We had to move to my furthest lease, the only place that has water, but they don't have as many birds. Hold on. Oh, never mind. But, yeah, the water's slick as glass right now, and we got a few shots. That's about it.
Well, yeah, it could change, and you know, we got the wind's going to be switching around. It's going to be out of the south and southeast by tomorrow, so the water should return.
Oh, that's perfect. The best – everybody thinks north winds, cold weather is best. The best weather for Delacroix Island, 70 degrees, good southeast wind.
Yeah, that's no, really. I think most Louisiana, that's true. That holds true for most of the state.
That's what they want in Hackberry in southwest Louisiana, southeast winds.
Yeah.
But these north winds, they take a strong north wind. Those birds will take advantage of it and head south.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sorry to hear the blue wings left because, boy, that was making up so much of the bags. You know?
Yeah.
Once they're gone, then you're on the big ducks, and hopefully the next front will push some in.
Yeah, we've been killing a bunch of green wings. So the green wings came down. They're in big flocks. And 2 days ago, we got into some gray ducks and widgeon. Mm-hmm. So we're moving around different places, wherever has water. I couldn't go to where I was yesterday because it's all mud.
Yeah.
But the tide's coming up little by little, so it can only get better.
Yeah, well, you know, the birds will move back in, and, man, that surprised me when y'all killed a greenhead. You know, it used to be common to kill mallards in Louisiana, South Louisiana, but it's been a wasteland for mallards. They just don't come down anymore. And was that a single bird or was it in a flock?
A single. Yeah. I called him, and he came about 35 yards over the blind, just as stupid as can be.
He didn't know he was dealing with a five-time duck calling champion and a crack shot like Goosey, you know? Mike, speaking of duck calling, I'm going to bring, when I come down there this week, I'm going to bring this recording that's being sent to me. We got two guys head up, mano a mano, Steel Man versus Big Burr. They've also done their call routines, and they want it to be judged, so I'm going to get you to help me judge because you got a lot of experience. But we can't do it in the blind because you know about using electronic calls in the blind. Can't do that.
Yeah, only for geese after the duck season closes.
In fact, I'm kind of questioning whether these two guys would be a plus or a negative by playing their duck calls while we're out there.
Might bring in some organzas or something.
Yeah. Well, Mike, LADuckHunts.com. If somebody wants to call you, what's the phone number to get in on some of this duck hunting before we got plenty of time left in the second and third splits?
504-228-4506.
All right. Very good.
It's going to get better. We just need some good weather days.
Yeah, well, again, you got to remember just getting out there and doing it. You know, it's not about the numbers all the time. It's about the experience. And beautiful day like today when you see some nice colors dropping down in the decoys. Doesn't take a whole bunch. Make me happy.
That's it. I got two good guys with me today. If ever you want to hear some good jokes, hunt with them. One of them originally from New York, and they both live in Florida now.
Okay. Hey, a lot of people have left New York and come down south, I can tell you that. For a lot of reasons. All right, Cap Mike, we'll talk to you, and we'll set up some time and talk about our trip coming up this week.
That'll work. I'll give you a holler.
All righty. There he goes, Mike Smith. All right, from his blind, we go across the river, Mississippi River, that is, and we'll head over to Burris and find out what Ryan Lambert's guides have been doing down at Cajun Fishing Adventures, where they do hunt ducks. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. From the blind in Delacroix Island, we fly you across over near the east side of the Mississippi River into the blind of our plastic man, Captain Ryan Lambert. Ryan, what you guys doing out in the blind this morning?
I was just sitting here watching a beautiful day come to life.
It is gorgeous.
Just had a giant flock of green wings come land in the decoys, and we got a few of them out of it. And we had a couple of canvas backs come by that we shot them in the wrong side.
On the wrong side.
Didn't hit them where they toot. Yeah, you got to hit them where they toot, not where they poot. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. Green wings, huh? Yeah. Is this a little early for green wings? I guess when it starts to get chilly.
No, they here, and they got blue wings here. Everybody, all the blinds yesterday except for one got their limit, and I think he had 8. But, Manuel had, he was done in 40 minutes. He was in the pocket in the teal with eating him alive. He had 22 teal and two gray ducks. I had three pintails, three canvasbacks, a few gadwalls, couple of ringnecks, some teal, a smorgasbord.
Yeah, that's a nice mix. You know, Manuel, I remember when he first started with you, you know, and he has really come around. I'd say he's probably your number one guy.
Yeah, well, that's because he works hard and he gets the best spot.
Does.
He kind of elbows his way into it, you know. But I heard Jake shooting earlier, so Jake's shooting. I heard Thomas shooting. I can't hear Manuel. Yesterday, I never heard him shoot one time. And he calls me, and he's only like maybe 1,000 yards away from me, but with the wind blowing that way. And he says, okay, I'm done. Bolo's coming over here. I said, well, golly.
Wow.
I said, I got 6.
Yeah. So you guys do that quite a bit. If one blind is in a real hot spot and they limit out, they clear and get out of Dodge and let somebody else come in, huh?
Well, what you do, you leave your decoys, you go pick up the other guy's decoys so he don't have to go back. And that way, it's just a circle. And then when we get back to the boats to go in, then we'll just switch decoys, you know?
Yeah, smooth move.
And then these trips, fishing,
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. These trips today are both blast and cast?
All of them. Every day, buddy. Mm-hmm. Every day. I got fishermen out right now, and everybody that's here hunting is going to fish. I think I have 6 or 7 blinds today, and everybody's going to fish after they hunt. So, yeah, it's fishing's been real good. The river's come up and got dirty, but it's still 3-something. But, you know, once you get dirty, it takes so long for that silt to fall out. But, you know, all they did is push them in the bay, so we're just going right there in the bay and just smacking them. You know, they don't go very far.
Mm-hmm.
And so the trout are really good. On both sides, we're catching trout. And the redfish pushed out the river because the redfish got a little tough for a little while because they was in the river and we couldn't get on them right. But now just push them back into the bays where we can put the hammer on them. So it's all good.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, prime time down there. What's going on Thanksgiving weekend down there? You guys going to be busy on that?
We always take off Thanksgiving, but Thanksgiving night I got a full house again, and we start the next day. The very next day we have 5 or 6 blinds, and you know, I just worry we have so much negative tide coming in January. I have very few days I can hunt. So I'm going to figure out, I'm going to just go find where they sitting on open water, and we're going to hunt up in open water, but we're going to get on them because, you know, that's half the month I can't even book. So we'll get to it.
Yep. You know, we had a lot of discussion this morning about frying turkeys versus baking them, and some people are using these oilless air fryer. What kind of turkey do you like? How do you cook your turkey?
Well, we have 60 people coming.
Ooh.
So we'll have 3 turkeys and 2 hams. So brother-in-law will fry it in the airless fryer, the greaseless fryer, and that's really good. And then Carmen will bake a real big one, and somebody else will bring something else, you know, smoked or just baked, whatever. But, you know, as long as they don't overcook it. You know, so people have a tendency to overcook a turkey a little bit when they're doing it in the air fryer, in the fryer as well with the grease. And I don't like a dry turkey, you know.
No.
Carmen's got it down to science. It's so good. Oh, my God. Then we'll have the melaton. We'll have 50 casseroles. And,
ooh.
Oh, Lord, it's unbelievable to see my house at Thanksgiving.
Sounds like an important holiday for you guys, and there's a lot to be thankful for, you know.
Oh, without a doubt. Cool, look at him turn. Oh, my God. Act like I'm saying something sexy to him. Jeez.
What do you got working?
Looks like some widgets. They're way high, but boy, they turned on a dime. Oh, my goodness. 3 of them, but they are dropping like a rock. That is so beautiful to see.
That is a pretty sight.
Widgets, I think.
All right, we're going to let you work them ducks. Oh, that sounds like a good whistle there. Some good call in there.
Daddies.
All right, we're going to let you go, Captain Ryan. Hope you all limit out today. And we'll catch up with you next week. Keep on doing what you're doing.
Y'all
have
a happy
Thanksgiving. All right.
Everybody. Bye-bye.
There he goes, Captain Ryan Lambert. The guy's got 3 arms sometimes. He talks on the phone to us. He calls with a duck call, and he's got a shotgun in his other hand, too. All right, we come back after this. Another duck blind, but we headed all the way across the state. We're going to Hackberry Rod and Gun. We're going to talk to Captain Kirk Stansel, get a hunting/fishing report to wrap up the Outdoors with Don Dubuque radio program. And in just a minute, we're going to get to Captain Kirk Stansel, Hackberry Rod and Gun, in his duck blind, where they are here. They're piling up the ducks, but I had an important text question that came in. I wanted to get to this. Someone wanted to know, they heard me talking about the red snapper season has been reopened only for charter guides, not for recreational fishermen, and they would love to hear the reasoning for this. The reason is there are 2 separate harvest quotas. There's a quota for the federally permitted offshore guides, and there's another quota that is given to the recreational fishermen. The recreational fishermen, it was calculated that they had reached the limit, so they closed the season. When that happens, they found that there was some leftover fish that the offshore recreational industry did not take advantage of, so they're allowing them to take those fish. So hope that's a good explanation for you. Now to the duck blind of Captain Kirk Stansel, where I'm sure they're knocking ducks down and dogs are hitting the water and people are happy. Tell me what's going on, Kirk.
Well, I'm sitting here. We have 10 green wings, a widgeon, and a couple of shovelers.
That's not so bad for this early in the morning, huh?
No. We've had a good start. You know, it's been a rough start for the season. I mean, we've been shooting ducks, but we don't have the ducks we normally do. But yesterday, a lot of ducks showed up, and it's showing this morning. They're showing out.
Yeah. You know, that's strange. Mike Smith was saying that, you know, the front came through and it pushed his ducks out, and you're saying it pushed your ducks in. So things can be so different, you know?
That's right, different areas. But, we've had a real good early morning so far.
And well, you must have some pretty good shooters with you, because those green wings are tough little targets, man. They are tough.
Well, they are. You know, if you take your time, they're really the easiest to shoot after you get that first shot off, because then they just flare up and, you know, you can pick them off. And, most people – get rid of their three shells before the ducks get right, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and you know, green wings are usually in pretty large flocks, groups, and you got to pick a bird. You can't, you know, get distracted and be looking at one and shooting at the other, because, I mean, I know what's happened to me. I'll shoot at one bird, and two birds behind him drops, you know.
That's right. I see it all the time, and I do it occasionally. So.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad y'all having a good – is this going to be a cast after the blast this morning?
No, not today. Not this particular group, but we have, I think, six boats going after the hunt today.
Uh-huh.
And the fishing's been good. We've a lot of trout right now. You know, the days it's windy, that's tough, but like yesterday, we had just one boat go out, and they limited out, and then we got those today. If it stays calm like this, it'll be good.
Now, when you say limited out, you're talking to speckled trout?
Yeah, on trout, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the redfish, it's still oversized reds or undersized. Not many slot reds around right now.
Uh-huh. And, of course, the flounders, we get to keep those starting next Sunday again.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think as warm as it's been, I think the flounder is still going to be around. It's going to extend the flounder run.
Well, that's good news because, you know, about this time when that water temperature drops, they head offshore, deeper waters this morning.
That's right.
Not available, so that's good. Well, sounds like everything's great and a lot to be thankful for down there at Hackberry, huh?
Absolutely. Everything's rolling good right now. You know, we're shooting ducks, catching fish, life good in Hackberry.
Yes, it is. Well, give us the information on hunt contacting you if somebody wants to book a trip there.
Okay. The number is 888-762-3391. Our website's Hackberry Rod and Gun. You spell out and.com.
Now, will they be serving your mom's famous stewed down duck up there this Thanksgiving?
Well, we had it last night.
Yeah, I could almost have it every night. That is so good. So good.
It's good.
Well, listen, we got one of our listeners, Lafitte LT, tells me he's going to be down there with you next week. So hopefully while you got him in the blind, we'll give y'all a call and we'll see how y'all doing.
That'll work. Okay.
All right. Well, everything sounds like it's pretty good down in Hackberry, and we're going to let you go on that note, and we'll see you next week.
All right, Don. Well, good talking to you, and you'd have a great show. Thank you for the call.
All right. You and the family have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the same to you.
All right, get to busy now. Get there and get some more of those ducks. All right, let's see. We got some more text messages we want to get into. Ryan mentioned Melaton. Someone wants to know how he prepares them. I will get that information for you next week. I'm sure he'll be glad to share it with us. And here's one. We were talking about the ladies from PETA who were throwing rocks in the water at Grand Isle to disrupt the fish. They said, there's a great clip on YouTube. Some crazy old lady walks up to the water's edge and starts throwing bread to some ducks. Then the hunters point and say those are decoys, and she storms off calling them murderers. And as you can guess, we probably know who she voted for. All right, we got, let's see, we got some more texts coming in, see if we can get to as many as we can fit in here. Let's see, someone wanted to know about, it made a good comment. You know, they've been hunting ducks since 1968. You and I started about the same time. Strong north wind was great. Yes, it was. But Katrina took the land away. Well, not just Katrina. It's been a long, slow erosion process. And now there's too much open water for the north wind. It's like pulling the drain plug. Absolutely. Just like it Texas, when we have marshland and wetlands from coming in, it also slows down the withdrawal when the winds come out of the north and northwest and the tide starts dropping. But now it just pours out of there because there's nothing to stop it. Good point. All right, we'll see y'all again next week. Same time, same place. Hope you'll join us for another episode of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.